In Counterspin Media's Truthathon, Part 13, Sasha Latipova explains how the official pandemic narrative is built on lies, deceptions, and flawed data.
Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour Truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
And we are so excited to have Sasha Latipova back with us. We've had her on before. She was a crowd favorite. She's actually a woman after her own heart in a lot of ways. She likes to say it as it is. She doesn't base her own information sharing on followers or view counts or likes or anything like that. She just wants you guys to be able to have access to quality information. So I'll give you a quick little rundown of her bio because it is very impressive. And Sasha holds a graduate degree in business from Dartmouth College and is a retired pharmaceutical industry research and development executive with 25 years of experience in conducting clinical trials. So we'll ask her if she wants to expand a little bit on that first, Sasha, maybe just to give, hopefully there's new viewers here, a bit more of an understanding of your background. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for inviting me. So my background is in pharmaceutical research and development. I worked in various roles in the industry. Ultimately, I ran my own companies performing clinical trials for pharmaceutical sponsors. These are called contract research organizations. And I had over 60 different pharmaceutical clients, including Pfizer and AstraZeneca and other large and small pharmaceuticals. The role of a contract research organization such as mine is basically analogous to if you have, you know, for example, you have an architect who's designed a huge convention center, and this would be a drug development program. And then they have to hire a lot of contractors to actually do the job, and they have various specialties. And mine was in imaging first for things like cancer and osteoarthritis, for example. You use a lot of medical imaging. And the second and the last company that I had was in cardiovascular safety. So we were doing FDA-required studies to characterize drugs in clinical trials for potential to cause arrhythmias, for example. And so that was my specialty. Safety was my specialty. And I interacted with, I submitted data for pharmaceutical sponsors to the FDA, discussed various methods of assessing cardiovascular safety with FDA and other global regulators. I met with European ones and the Japanese ones. And so I know how the regulators normally think about or used to. This is all gone, but especially with regard to what they call biologics. But I knew, I was aware how it's supposed to be done and how consumer safety is supposed to be protected. That's why I started speaking up, because what I realized is none of it is being applied to these products and to the COVID situation and to these poisons that they call COVID vaccines.
I've got a follow-up question in regards to how the industry works, because, I mean, I don't have an extensive understanding of everything, but I've done a little bit of study of history and the way that they created the pharmaceutical industry and then bringing in the allopathic doctors to kind of basically push the pharmaceutical medicines. And then they have, you know, big conferences all around the world where they – you know, pharmaceutical companies will pay for doctors to go there, and then they will, you know, give them all these products, and then the doctors basically feel quite obliged to push these things. Do you want to maybe expand a little bit on that aspect of the way modern medicine
yes,
works?
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't have this very history going very far back in a lot of detail, but what's interesting in the, especially in the later years, how it got especially transformed by money and by profit motive. So if you go back to, say, pre-modern pharmaceutical industry, There was always some sort of a medicinal, industry using herbs, using natural substances, eventually using things like opioids. Those were first, let's say, medicines used to for as painkillers, for example. But the doctors, the practice of medicine was private. So there was no institutionalized or insurance-paid practice of medicine, and I want people to realize that nothing in this world is free. So when the doctors were private, the criticism was that only rich people can afford medicine. Well, this is still the case, even when the doctors are now institutionalized and paid by your insurance. Again, the true medicine is only what rich people can afford. For the rest of the population, this institutionalization just led to mass poisoning. And the doctors are now employed by the government in many countries. It's socialized medicine is a government medicine. Or, like in the US, it's even worse because the prices that we pay are, astronomical. And the industry, even when it's private insurer, is still being fully controlled by the government through federal subsidies and federal payments and so forth. So we pay three times for just as bad quality socialized medicine. So that problem has still not been solved because, people prefer to think that they can get healthcare for free, that it's some sort of a right. And it's not. You're responsible for your own healthcare. You are your own physician first, and you have to take that responsibility by healthy living, by being aware, by educating yourself, by making decisions and not outsourcing them to others. And if you're not ready to do that, you are open to being trapped in whichever system is being pushed on you, whether it's called, socialist medicine, or is it called private insurer or some sort of a Medicare, Medicaid, like in the US. Anything that's getting pushed on you by others is going to entrap you into this poison and kill cycle for money. Okay, so that's just the overall statement. And yes, so the in the US and in Western world, the medicine and pharmaceutical industry are designed to generate profits. Their primary interest is shareholders, and then also politicians that get elected by the by pharma companies, and that's based on capital gains primarily, not cash contributions, but capital gains. And so because of that, we have this really vicious cycle of they need the patents to generate the returns, to generate capital gains, to elect the politicians who will then put in all these pharma preferential laws on the books, and the cycle continues. And this is how we arrived at this era of biologics that are complete poisons. They don't work. They can't make them. It's just because they have this new IP that they think that they can ride another cycle of elections off of it. That's why we have all this, not only why, but, from the point of view, what's going on with pharma, this is where we are at the moment.
It's interesting you say it because you're right. It's like a rinse and repeat cycle. It's interesting you mentioned before about cancers and your experience in that and cardiovascular issues, because the current mob are buying up a lot of companies dealing with the very symptoms that have been created on the back of their original jabs. So they're creating turbo cancers. This is a new now hip word, turbo cancers. It's just like you're going to die of cancer, but we've just sped it up. Hence turbo, like you put in your car. Anyway, myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots. There's just a huge list, and it's real. It's happening. It's been confirmed across the world, and still, they are telling us on New Zealand TV, it's safe and effective. What do you have to say to anyone watching this who are sucked in by the constant sustained propaganda they are having hammered into their heads day after day after day that these jabs are safe and effective?
Well, they're not safe nor effective and were never needed in the first place. Now, the problem we're having trying to explain this to people who don't want to hear this is that you can't make people see until they choose to. God gave you free will, and that comes with responsibility of opening your own eyes and your own ears. Nobody can do it for you. And until these people decide that it's time for them to hear the truth, they will remain in the world of lies, and nothing we can do will stop it. That's why I don't chase subscribers. I don't chase views. I actively tell people, if you are uncomfortable with what I'm telling you, unsubscribe and go back to your comfy life if you think so. And we will speak later. And so that's my message. If you don't want to hear this, nobody can force you. It's your choice. Now, I just came back from 2 days ago. I was in Oklahoma Senate. We had a huge hearing. This was organized by the Freedom Health Freedom Community members. We had a huge crowd. The original room that they gave us was nearly not enough. People were standing in the hallway. We couldn't cram everyone into the room. And for the second part, they gave us a much larger, beautiful room in the Senate building. We had 10 or 11 legislators present, the state senators. And we had victims. We had people whose loved ones were killed in the hospitals using COVID murder protocols with remdesivir and ventilator. We had a heartbreaking story from parents who lost their 18-year-old daughter who got a Pfizer jab without telling them and died next day horrendously in pain from a huge blood clot that killed her lower intestine. And can you imagine the pain of dying like that? And I could not, I sat across the table from these people. I recorded a little snippet. I will publish the full video. The organizers are preparing the full video. It was all documented. I recorded about the minute of their presentation. I could hardly make myself not cry. Everybody was about to cry in that meeting. It's horrible what's being done. It's the ugliest evil is being committed right now. And it's made even uglier by those people who prefer to ignore it. And all I can say is they will have to be accountable for this one day, and they need to think about it.
So just for the record, are cancers on the increase in America? And recently the CDC basically the headlines I saw, they were saying that the COVID is no worse than the common
It
flu,
never
is
were
it?
worse than common flu, or you know, and for the and it was actually the it was actually less severe than common flu because children are not susceptible at all, and younger.
And what did we say from the beginning? I was saying that from the beginning of our broadcast. I said there is, I said it's the whole thing's fake. There is no pandemic. There never was. This is to drive you to take a product that is ultimately going to kill you or shorten your lifespan. I said, if you can't see this, there's something seriously wrong. And of course, what we've said from the beginning has played right out. Another thing I've never bought into is what I deem to be the controlled narrative for when the primary one falls over. You've got the backup one, because either way it swings, there's still this existence of this deadly pandemic, no matter which
So
way
you're
you
talking about
go.
the lab leak
Oh,
theory.
the lab leak theory. I've never bought in to the COVID lab leak theory being Wuhan. Never. Considering this whole gain of function was to be put into the jab. It was never to be weaponize a bloody
No, yeah.
virus.
So
You know what I mean? Pathogens are bacteria.
that's correct. So they cannot make, so people need to understand, nobody can make deadly spreading, very quickly spreading viruses in the lab. That's a myth. The whole biotechnology industry is largely falsified. It's falsified by, you know, so that what they publish on the whole peer review literature space we know is completely controlled by money. The way researchers can get grants is only if they spout back the narrative that's prescribed by the NIH who doles out the money. So if, for example, if they don't say we need to fight pandemics and deadly spreading infectious pathogens, including by our adversaries who bioengineer viruses in the lab, guess what? They will never get the money to do research. That's why they all do it in concert. So this is very simple. You control the choir by paying them salary. Okay. Why this is such a, you know, earth-shattering news to people, I don't know. Anyway, so there's no honest science here. It's all a controlled narrative. They publish these papers. In the papers, they only show cartoons and generalized models. So, you know, and if you see this cartoon of this virus, you know, infecting, and then another branch of fake science is, of course, called Hollywood, where they make these movies and shows about a deadly pathogen that's being engineered by some evil PhD in his garage, and then it leaks and kills half the world. And so, because Hollywood said so, of course, everyone believes when the same propaganda starts being splattered all over mainstream media as if it's true. It's not true. Okay, so nobody can make deadly viruses that spread easily in the labs. What they can make in the lab is poison, and they can deploy it in a variety of ways, and they have done so. And I also published on this. There are numerous well-recorded mainstream media recorded examples of CIA and DOD deploying biological and chemical weapons on U.S. population and global populations without their consent, by aerosols on the subways, HVAC systems, spraying with airplanes off the coast. And now with drones, it's easier. Putting stuff in special batches in the vaccines, for example, to deploy in certain populations like San Francisco.
Fluoride in the water.
Yeah, food, water. So they can deploy a variety of toxins. Now, these are not viruses and they don't spread by themselves. So just like with any deployment of poison, it's localized. Then, but they generate these so-called sentinel cases, which look weird because they're using, you know, for example, central nervous system acting agents, such as with this COVID thing that they kills your sense of smell and taste. I had it. It's extremely weird. I got anorexia for 2 weeks after that because I couldn't eat anything. But it's not deadly and it goes away and you can treat it easily and it doesn't self-spread. They just needed to freak people out and then tell them, oh, you have this absolutely novel virus, PCR, completely healthy people or people who have a common cold, fake PCR them and then shove them into the hospital murder protocol. This is how they fake pandemics. But they need the narrative going and they need the fear going so that they can continue doing it over and over and over again.
And they had to say there was no cure for it, even, and so they took hydroxychloroquine away and ivermectin and then passed it through an executive order that it was under emergency authorization.
Yes. Yeah. So exactly. That's why they removed hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I remember how militant they were, how absolutely evil. And that's actually how I first became aware of something really bad going on when they started going after hydroxychloroquine. And I knew it was completely illegal for the government to do that. Because doctors have right to practice medicine. Doctors have right to prescribe previously approved, FDA declared safe products within their dosages and usage to prescribe it for other indications if they think there is evidence to do so. And there was evidence starting in March and April. There were already studies published by Didier Raoult in France showing that hydroxychloroquine works. And Fauci himself published papers in 2005 showing that chloroquine and its derivatives also work for SARS. So there was plenty of good evidence to start treating people with the safe product. And then FDA and the whole establishment just went after those people, took away their licenses, took away their livelihood, smeared them, still prosecuting some of the people for prescribing, you know.
Yeah, just like the government's gone after people here who went out on protests, because, and to stand up against the tyranny, the jackboot thugs that were coming down on them, but they would not go after people like BLM who would do the big organized protests, or Antifa over here, the anti-fascists, which is laughable because they're probably the most fascist
Yes.
pricks in the world. So the government is in this up to their ears. The medical council here in New Zealand were going after the New Zealand doctors speaking up with science. They're the ones who got mandated out because they would not go against their oath of do no harm. They said, we can't, in all clear conscience, do any of this to the population when we ourselves have not got the data to show that these things are safe and effective, even though the propaganda continuously stated that it was. We've got, so they were going after them. We've had the academics like Michael Baker, Sean Hannity, Susie Wiles, the pink-haired witch that we have in this country, masquerades like she's some sort of expert. These are the talking heads they trot out all the time. And in fact, it's becoming such a joke now that these people are now talking about long COVID. In other words, we
Yeah, why don't we ask what
Oh,
is
that's
on, hang
on,
another.
let me just get to that. I was just getting, yes, I was just getting to that. They trot out these people, first of all, to sell you that there's this deadly pandemic, you're all going to die, you better get this jab. So they go and get the jab, and then they start getting all these symptoms, and they say, oh, no, it's not the jab, it's long COVID. So no matter which way these people are getting damaged, there's always some explanation. And we've even heard it's climate change, you know, are causing sudden adult death syndrome and all that. Can you help make sense of this maddening subject, because it's just doing my head in.
Because how do you diagnose long COVID, right? They're always going on about how they need an extra diagnosis.
There
What's
is
the
no
deal here?
diagnosis of long COVID. There is no long COVID either. It's a vaccine injury. So they always hide. This is historically how they've hidden all vaccine injuries. Vaccines are poisons. It's just a systematic poisoning. Extremely. It's a magical obsession. There is no reason to vaccinate against anything. It's never been useful. But anyway, so that's a broader discussion. But they always hid. These are standard practices of hiding vaccine injury by gaslighting people into all sorts of things, such as long flu, long this and that. You know, they come up with these syndrome names and all kinds of the more popular later on became, oh, it's just because you have genetic predisposition or genetic abnormality or some sort of a rare genetic syndrome. This is another way to hide the symptoms. And as I said again, the money is being doled to those people who are faithful to the narrative. So I actually also published on some sort of honest studies that are funny. There's a peer review publication came out in Lancet talking about the role of microbiome in recovery from both COVID and, well, vaccine injury, but they can't say vaccine injury. So they have to write, oh, you know, there is this long COVID and 60 million people are affected by long COVID. And then they go and talk about, you know, the essentially vaccine injury and the role of microbiome in recovery. But they need that, you know, narrative affirming the dogma in order to get the money and in order to get published in Lancet.
Because it's the same, like you're talking about the fake science. It's obviously the same in media with fake media. Because here in New Zealand, there was massive amounts of money being given to what were so-called private media companies, but you know, obviously the government media companies as well. And then they get a list of stipulations, and they have to stick to the narrative, and they have to sing from the same song sheet again. So, for anybody to really even come through the other end of it and be in some way able to actually see the truth, it's almost like a miracle right now.
I congratulate those people who do see the truth, who do see through this BS. And once you see it, it's very easy to spot all this nonsense, absolute nonsense. And yes, it's all by pumping money to those people who are going to go along and who are going to inject, who are going to propagandize. Even, you know, I write on Substack, and that's a very good resource. I hope, you know, people can subscribe and read my publications because there's a lot of information there.
Yes.
There are a lot of good writers on Substack. You know, it still is sort of a place where people can express themselves freely. But even on Substack, they have fake accounts. There's one account that's number one account in science category. She has 10,000 paid subscribers. Her comment section is locked only for paid subscribers. So this lady has 10,000 paid subscribers. All she does is publishing CDC propaganda articles in English and Spanish.
Yeah.
And she is, surprise, surprise, an ex-CDC employee. So I find it very hard to believe that 10,000 people would pay to read yet another advertisement from CDC, which are freely available from any other media source on billboards everywhere you go. And, you know, so this is how they launder money. They pretend that there are these huge media stars, you know, and the government basically pushes her salary through, you know, $5 monthly subscriptions from fake accounts, to pretend that this is a very popular, you know, and Substack itself says, oh, you know, Caitlin is this local mom that just, you know, takes care of her children and just decided to write Substack, and look how successful she became.
Yeah, that's like someone actually trying to believe that Hunter Biden's scribble on a napkin's worth $500,000 or Hillary Clinton's worth $600,000 speaking engagement and this artwork, oh, there's another $5 million, you know, or a $5 million book deal that nobody bloody
right,
reads.
So just like the Obama's got a book deal for $65 million, $65 million for Obama to reminisce about their life. In exchange from the same publisher who got like a $500 million contract for Common Core publishing from Obama. You know, we're supposed to believe that his book is, you know, rights are worth $65 million.
There's no kickbacks in
well,
modern
like,
politics.
Well, it's like, you know, let's sort of liken it to the corruption and the deep-seated corruption that it is. It's like the Ukrainian situation. You've got the U.S. They don't give a crap about Ukrainian people. It's a racket. They're laundering money over there. It comes back into their own the military-industrial complex's arms, who then pay the politicians to keep the cycle going. So they get millions and millions of dollars. These people go in worth, say, $400,000 or $500,000, and in a very short time they're worth tens of millions, just like former Prime Minister we could talk about here. But
why don't we quickly talk about, because we've only got 15 minutes left, talk about the laws.
Yes.
Because you're such an expert in that area, and how America is leading the way on just, you know, having this major relationship with these pharmaceutical companies and then the Five Eyes countries after that.
So a lot of this information about the law research is coming from my colleague and friend, Catherine Watt. She also has a Substack. It's called Bailiwick News. And I suggest people subscribe to her as well, because she has probably the best legal research today in the world that exists is her writing, you know, on this topic. And all of it is available for free. So she helped me understand, you know, I understood early on that these products were adulterated. And I know there's a number of lawsuits right now going after that angle, that these products contain a lot of materials that are not supposed to be there. They're not up to the spec. The DNA plasmids, for example, were found in every single vial that was tested so far, for that matter. And that's very, very dangerous because it's cancer-causing agent. It can integrate into genome. It can integrate into the microbiome and destroy both. Anyway, but I knew that these products were adulterated even at the end of 2021 when I was working on VAERS data and I saw how variable the adverse events and deaths were. I couldn't understand for a long time why the regulators anywhere in the world would not act on this information. It was very clear. It was undeniable. From my experience, even a fraction of this would have stopped the entire development program and probably stopped the entire class of a product forever. But they were completely, blatantly ignoring this for a long time. I couldn't understand why. When I read Catherine's research in law, I understood why. This was completely intentional. The laws in the United States are, I would characterize them as the worst. The second is 5i countries where they have all the equivalent laws minus PREP Act. And then other jurisdictions may have easier time to deal with this. But anyway, I can describe you the situation in the US.
Yes.
Over, let's say, past 2 decades, which shows premeditation, the US pharmaceutical industry, regulators, and Congress all got in on this deal. The important driver, of course, is the Department of Defense. So the Department of Defense approached pharma companies starting in early 2000s, but this got really going after 2012, 2015 time frame. They approached the pharmaceutical industry with this proposal to work on pandemic preparedness plan. It's called P3. It was developed by DARPA. Specifically, Colonel Matt Hepburn takes credit for coming up with this brilliant plan, pandemic preparedness plan. P3 program, and I wrote about this on my Substack. I also published the recording, leaked recording from AstraZeneca executives, including Pascal Soirot, and who is the CEO of AstraZeneca, and Mark Esser, who is the VP in charge of monoclonal antibody program, discussing this relationship that they started with DARPA, specifically Matt Hepburn, in 2017. When they were approached by DARPA with this idea, and Mark Esser, who is an experienced pharmaceutical R&D executive, so when DARPA came to them and said, "Hey, we will identify these pandemic viruses with pandemic potential, novel viruses with pandemic potential, and you guys in pharma will develop products such as vaccines and monoclonal antibodies and other products to treat them or vaccinate against them within 60 days of us identifying that virus." And Mark Esser's initial response to this was, "You are out of your mind," which is very rational, correct response from somebody experienced with pharmaceutical development. Because it is a fake story, and he had the right reaction. Of course, DARPA then said, "Oh, well, we'll give you grants and you will work on your things in science that you love." And, every scientist loves that. Here's a bunch of money. You can work on your favorite research. And of course, they signed on. And since then, the money became very convincing and they now know that they're poisoning people, but they don't care. In addition to the money and this relationship with this very, very strange idea of developing products within 60 days, the pharmaceutical industry also pushed the US Congress over time to introduce greater and greater and greater protections for liability because fundamentally, they knew they were going to poison people. They knew that this is not possible. It's not possible to develop safe and effective products within 60 days or 100 days or even a year, how they're claiming for these COVID shots. It's just not possible. All you can do is push out poison. And any pharmaceutical research and executive person knows, no matter how evil they themselves are, they know that this is the truth. And so they knew that, and they knew they were going to kill and injure people, and they knew the truth will come out. So what did they do over these 20 years? Well, they prepared themselves with legal preparedness by passing all these laws and making sure that they can never be prosecuted for killing people. So I will discuss the laws themselves in a moment, but just the bottom line, the collection of these laws that my friend Catherine Watt calls the legal cage. It's a perfect legal cage because their net effect is that homicide is made legal as long as it's executed by a CDC approved vaccine. Okay, so it allows to legally commit murder, and it's absolutely well documented. So the collection of these laws in the US includes three categories of things. One is announcement of a thing called pandemic or public health emergency by the HHS secretary, which is equivalent to a health minister. There is no criteria that's required to hard criteria to announce the pandemic. It's only him personally thinking that there is a pandemic of a deadly novel virus, or there's a potential for one. So currently we have a ridiculous situation in the US where we're still under the public health emergency for COVID pandemic until the end of this year. And we're also under emergency of a deadly pandemic of Ebola and Marburg in the United States. And it's supposed to end, according to Javier Becerra, at the end of 2028, but I believe he will extend both of these. Yes. So that's how ridiculous it is. It's just his opinion. He just writes a memo saying, I believe there is a potential for a deadly pandemic of Marburg and Ebola and COVID. And that's it. That's all that's required. Now, after he does that, that triggers into place all these other deadly laws. The first one is now it's the window is open for FDA to issue EUAs or emergency use authorizations for so-called medical countermeasures. Medical countermeasure is a military term. This is how all of these products are categorized as medical military countermeasures. And they only exist under this PREP Act declaration and only with EUA. And finally, the shield that both the government and the pharmaceutical industry is using is called PREP Act. PREP Act basically boils down to you're allowed to do anything, commit murder, injury, death with this countermeasure product, and you are not liable for anything. You are considered a government employee for the purposes, no matter who you're employed by, a local fire department or school or parking attendant. As long as you are following the HHS protocol, and this is the same for, they have similar laws on the books in New Zealand, Australia, other places. As long as you follow the protocol prescribed by your government, as far as the use of this product, the government will defend you from any suit for liability. And this is how they're getting away with all of this. Because the government essentially funded these things. The government, through the military, funded them, gave them money to the pharma companies to make them. Now, and the government says, I don't care what the quality is. I don't care. You just deliver this to me and you follow my instructions. And then you're completely absolved of any responsibility of what happens.
Mm. And there's no one in the government then, like, because the government is this imagined entity, like it's an idea.
Well, it's a creation of us. Yeah. It's our idea. We've delegated power and authority or a select an amount to these people to basically watch our backs, make our lives better while we get on with their own pursuit of happiness. But that the creation has now become the master. That's the problem. And like you were saying, Sasha, it's perfectly right. It's the problem reaction solution once again. It's a time old adage that's because it works constantly, it keeps getting employed. So they've got a product that they want to decimate the world's population with. They know it's going to. So they have to create demand for it. So they'll create this imaginary pandemic, put the sphere of God into everyone, Like you're all about to die if you don't take this, especially do it for grandma and being able to, you know, go to your favorite concerts and that. And then they start injecting people. But then they've got the cover story for the problems that's created from that jab as well. So no matter what layer, and like we tried to tell people before, this whole thing was played out in a game theory called SPARS, where they knew who to trot out first were the experts or the entertainers that they would employ to say, get the jab, you know, and do their singing songs. And all the nurses dancing so deadly, so packed with these hospitals that it was completely empty to allow nurses to dial around like they're fucking fools, you know what I mean?
So many psychological operations going on. And maybe just before we wrap up, maybe you could touch on the whole idea of controlled opposition. We get accused of being controlled opposition often.
We're the hypocrites telling the truth.
Kelvin, you know, recently went to Russia. That obviously means he's a Russian agent. You're from the Ukraine, but people have called you a Russian agent. Let's objectively look at how to try and instill a bit of confidence in the viewer. How do you best process information, and without getting too attached to the person who's delivering you the information, and how do you spot controlled opposition?
Right, so you have to. So the controlled opposition is definitely a real phenomenon, and it's not invented yesterday, not invented for this event specifically. We were discussing this before, and I said, you know, it's a famous quote by Vladimir Lenin that, you know, the best way to defeat the opposition is to lead it yourself. And he also didn't invent it, but it's become much easier to do this. Because of the technology, because of all the faking that they can do, fake histories, fake credentials, and you know, just the propaganda machinery is immense. They've thrown the most amount of money was thrown into propaganda, not surprisingly, because they need to capture you first in your mind before they can entrap you in all of these other things. And that's what they've done with people. So there are definitely numerous, unfortunately, there are probably more controlled or semi-controlled, you know, there are different degrees of control exerted over different people, but there are, you know, controlled and soft controlled opposition is unfortunately very numerous. The way to spot them is pay attention to the words. I always tell people to pay attention to the words, disregard who is talking and what they said before, but pay attention to what they're saying now. And the words are usually, if you see the person, for example, acknowledging that vaccines are dangerous, acknowledging death and injury, acknowledging, you know, pharma role in it, how pharma is evil, how pharma is, you know, profit motives, all that. But they studiously avoid government's role in it. You know that they're controlled. Because it's not just pharma. And this is the whole thing is the merger of government with corporations, which is fascism. So this is a global fascism being unrolled on you. And you know, I'm also been accused of being, you know, paid by Pfizer or being pharma shill and so forth. And I never excused pharma for it. I am describing and publishing on how pharma is exactly very, very evil because they knowingly produced poison. But to properly prosecute any criminal activity, you need to understand the hierarchy. And the hierarchy here is the government is doing this via pharma, as a defense contractor, as a producer of poison, to whom they extended what Pfizer calls in their court filings a derivative sovereign immunity. This is how the crime is conducted. So when you see people discussing this in the way, you know, I've just laid out, you know, understanding the role of government and pharma together, then they are probably telling you the truth. If they're studiously avoiding the government and preserving the government's ability to declare pandemics based on nothing, well, you know for sure they're controlled opposition because they're preserving the core of the castle. So there's like castle, you know, walls within walls defense, and they'll concede on a lot of things, but they will absolutely preserve this castle, which is the government's ability to tell you there is a deadly pandemic and then proceed to fascism.
You know what? That's exactly right, because that's what we've been doing. We've been calling everyone involved in this out, including the alternative media that still keep up the lie. In fact, the government, you see, I have been telling people for a long time, you know, we can blame the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, we can blame the United Nations, we can blame everyone and sundry, but until we hold the feet to the fire of the politicians that pass the laws and to allow it to take hold here or take root here, you might as well piss in the breeze and you'll just get wet. You know what I mean? Because these people enable it. It's like having a crack whore that you're constantly feeding. You're an enabler.
Exactly. You're not helping So them. That's another one is, you know, so to support the sort of controlled narrative is when they, again, they will acknowledge pharma bad, vaccines bad, you know, side effects, skip over the government that's doing it, go immediately to WHO, Soros, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, you know, World Bank. Those are also important players, but guess what? You're skipping the most important executive part. And, you know.
Yes. The implementation.
Yeah, the implementation.
And I think, and people need to understand that controlled opposition doesn't necessarily mean that you are being paid kickbacks or that you're being bribed or that, you know, you've had...
You could be just a bloody idiot.
That you've had videos in your house and you've done bad things with minors under the influence or whatever, and we know that kind of stuff's going on.
Absolutely.
But it could simply just be that, you know, the government and the media arm has put so much fear into everybody who wants to speak out because they ruin your reputation. They shut down your bank account. Like, we've had our account shut down. They try and make life so difficult for you that you can't get a job in mainstream media, and you lose a lot of family and friends. And then it's literally just like that soft controlled opposition. It's just simply through fear that people restrict themselves from talking about the truth and telling the truth, so they essentially steer people down the wrong path again.
And we don't want to be have a job in mainstream media. Let's just clarify that, because we're better than mainstream media.
Yes.
Why? Because you get facts and evidence only here.
Who wants to be with those losers? I mean, nobody's watching them.
That actually reminds me, we are so far away from mainstream media that even the New Zealand Deputy Prime Minister, Winston Peters, had to concede this fact recently at his New Zealand First Party State of the Nation address, where Samantha Costello, a Counterspin contributor, was asking him the very pertinent questions. And he actually replied to her and he said, "I know when I'm being accosted by an outsider." So what do you think about that?
Well, that actually makes us outsider media, and we're more than happy to take that label on.
Sounds good.
But it's part of the club. We ain't in it.
Well, that's what they're gonna try to use in the U.S. They try to label you like a foreign agent, and they're saying, "Oh, it's so." They're like trying these narratives of what's going to stick, you know, claiming that you're a foreign agent, that you're working for Putin or something, or China, and you know, so that's they're doing the same in the U.S. as well, because they're claiming it's. It's the infrastructure. It's the critical infrastructure that you're affecting because you are changing people's minds, and that's the critical infrastructure that you are destroying for them.
Yep. Yeah, of course. Yeah, like was stated, Winston Peters, Deputy Prime Minister for 18 months, because he's doing a power sharing agreement with the other.
The one that they're heralding as kind of some sort of hero for the freedom and truth movement, even though he's been in government for 40 years and he's like Biden, and he's done nothing.
He's pushed for this COVID inquiry that does not deal with the jab injuries and death and does not deal with the Pfizer contract. Only what lessons can we learn for when we bring the next pandemic?
That's headed by like some of the major players who brought in the mandates and brought in the whole infrastructure.
They're doing the same everywhere. That was their like next step, listening sessions everywhere in different like senates and parliaments and stuff like that, to say, oh, you know, there's a little bit of overreach. We should probably not have done the lockdowns, but maybe masking mandates were not so good. This is the same thing that bullshit Ron DeSantis' Florida grand jury doing. Exact same thing. Just for political points. And
tell us your story.
Well, yeah, let's do a hearing. Let's do real feedback.
And next time we'll just bring in the CBDCs.
Yeah.
We'll just make sure that your car can't travel more than 5 kilometers.
Yeah.
We'll mandate that you have to take medicine, and we'll be able to monitor it because you'll have the microchip inside your stomach, and it will come up on our computer if you've been a good little boy and good little girl.
Funny you should say that. I've got some images sent through to me yesterday by someone who decided to climb the poles and take down one of those white little domes that they've got up there. That thing has so much tech in it, you could fly the spacecraft, if you could get out there, of course. You could fly the spacecraft and go land on somewhere, because it is multi-layered of circuit boards and motherboards. That is not just a sensor light to switch the bloody lights on. This thing is part of what we call the meshnet rollout, where it's going to have everyone's tracking and all
did
that.
They, like,
incredible.
Can they, like, reverse engineer it and see what's there, or no?
Yeah, they took it off. I'll just grab them. It's incredible, actually.
Hey, can you send it to me?
You can send her a photo.
I'll send you it.
Yes, that would be interesting. I'm gonna try to get some engineers to look into it.
Yeah, it made my day. Also, we've been inquisitive little tykes and resolved our question of what all those white things are on top of the poles. You know, the ones that appeared after the first lockdown. And what you see now, of course, is the very product that they extracted from the top of the pole. So what we did, we did a little bit of digging where it says telematics wireless. We thought, okay, well, let's look into that. And it's fine. We find they have a New Zealand distributor agent, let's say. And you can find them at techlight.co.nz. That's techlight.co.nz. Go to that website and you will be able to see exactly what I'm about to read to you. And it states quite clearly, Telematics Wireless today is a world leader in IoT, that's Internet of Things, and its most promising application, smart cities. Telematics Wireless, in-depth proficiency in RF technology, puts the company in a prominent position as a smart city leader based on their streetlight control systems. What have we been saying about smart cities?
Yeah, can I just say there, if we're conspiracy theorists because we were calling out smart cities, well, hey, we're right again. Boom, boom, boom. It's all there. It's all being built up right around us in front of our very eyes, and most people don't even notice.
Well, yeah, remember, we're no longer doing rack, pack, and stack 15-minute cities. It's now rack, pack, and track. And this is a perfect example of that. In fact, it's basically taking advanced military technology and converting it for civilian application. This is an Israeli company. And of course, we are not fans of Israel, just for the record out there. We're not fans of Israel, especially the usurper Jews that have taken over, who aren't even bloody Jews.
Yeah, it's the Israeli government. I mean, it's just as awful as our government. Yeah.
Shocking.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Right, we need a mass roundup of politicians, put on an island, give them all swords. Last one standing gets a firing squad.
Jab them all up first, though, as well.
Or jab them. Yeah, let's experiment on them.
Yeah.
But feed them real life bacteria and parasites.
Chocolate-covered crickets.
They can eat the bugs.
Yes. Your master eats the bugs.
Yes.
Hey,
it's like being with Antifa.
We're going to have to wrap it up there, Sasha. It's been fantastic having you on.
You're a legend.
Yeah, you're such a guiding light, you know, walking your own path, doing what's right, and we are just so grateful that you
managed to
join us
again. And the best part about
this,
people, is that she doesn't need to. She's independently wealthy. She can retire tomorrow and go away and let you all suffer.
I am retired.
But she decides, instead to try to save your ass, you ungrateful pricks, most of you who come after us.
Yeah, not our audience, though.
Our audience is probably some of the most astute, intelligent, except the trolls who are in the background in their mum's basement watching us, thinking what they can put online.
Well, we're obviously over the target.
Yeah, definitely. So, time to start dropping some carpet bombs.
You
on
enjoy
them.
Your holiday, you. Sasha, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very
soon.
Much.
Thank you.
You
very much.
Enjoy.
Cheers. Bye.
You are watching Counterspin.
New Zealand's Media Revolution, the platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com.
Ever since the time I brought Think Big into the New Zealand political landscape, there has been a dire need for the media to provide full scrutiny of what politicians say and do. Unfortunately, the New Zealand media has become corrupted by these politicians as well as foreign special interest funding. So, and now more than ever, there is a great need for an independent media to scrutinize the government and their bought and paid for media and untangle their lies and webs of deceit. That's why Counterspin Media was born, and you can now see and hear them at counterspinmedia.com. And I encourage you all to donate bigly.
Are you enjoying this 12-hour Truthathon presentation? Do you believe in the importance of Counterspin Media's mission to expose falsehoods and deliver evidence-based factual content? You see, never before in history has it been so important to support a media organisation that is fighting for your freedoms, fighting for your freedom of speech, but also who refuses to be influenced by false narratives. Your donation will help keep them independent, and it's very costly to make such quality content. Please look at their website. There's a number of ways that you can donate, and together we can combat false information. Because you see, at Counterspin is where lies die, but truth prevails.
Keep checking back on counterspinmedia.com and look under the videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.